I didn't expect that you wouldn't. Y'all did a great job. Silent night. Man, it wasn't silent somewhere that night. The angels were rejoicing, I have no doubt. And good morning. I'm so glad that you're here this morning, and I can't wait to get into Scripture with you. So let's just do that right off. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 again. We have been on this journey looking at our spiritual giftedness. It is fitting at this time of the year, as we are given multiple gifts, that we would take a look at our spiritual gifts. And let's review just for a few of us that need some catching up. We have learned in the last few weeks that our spiritual gifts are indeed spiritual. I think we take that for granted, and it has to be said over and over and over. Our spiritual gifts are indeed spiritual. And with that comes great power through the Holy Spirit. And our gifts are supposed to be used for building up of individuals and for building the global church. I think we sometimes can take our spiritual gifts and just apply them to just about any situation and say, well, that's what my gift is. And it has nothing to do with building up a person or building up the church. So we need to be careful with that. First week, we looked at the gift of prophecy. Remember, it is forthtelling or speaking the truth into a situation, scriptural and spiritual truth into a situation. It is forthtelling. It is not foretelling. It is not looking ahead to the future. We talked about that. Last week, we looked at the gift of serving. There was a... It's this, from the same word where we get deacon. And there was a dispute that had gone on in the church. The widows weren't being served. And the cure for that was to interject the spiritual gift of service, where men were selected who could serve the people. And while those men were serving, the people that were sharing and teaching and preaching the gospel continued to do that work. And so here we are today. Romans chapter 12. Let's take a look at verses 1 through 7. Let me get there. I'm in the wrong book. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, I think is where we're at. Perfect. Here we go. Romans chapter 12. If you are willing and able, would you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for gifting each one of us as believers with at least one spiritual gift. Father, as we take another look at one of these gifts this morning, would we be so impacted by what is said through your word and what you teach through the Holy Spirit that we might be moved to action in our faith, that we might be moved to action for the growth of the kingdom. Father, thank you for this time. You get all the praise and all the glory for everything that is going on. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So here we go. This morning we're going to creep ahead in this passage of Scripture. We have looked at prophecy. We have looked at service. In verse 7, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching. So we're going to talk about teaching this morning. We're going to talk about teaching. And when I say teach, what comes to your mind? Now come down here because I want to pick on the students for a minute. When I say teach, what is the first thing you think of? Teacher. School. Man, that was said with such enthusiasm. Did you hear that? School. How many of you other guys had the same thought? When I say teach, immediately you think of a teacher. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Let me be clear with something this morning. I am grateful to our teachers that work every day in our public school system. But this is not about you. Okay? You get the day off, teachers. Because you can hone a craft of teaching in the public school. You can sharpen that knife, figuratively. You can sharpen that skill in the public school system and be good at it and still not have this spiritual gift. Okay? So let's be clear with that. Some teachers that are in the public school system do have this gift. Fantastic. Great. But here's where we get it wrong mostly, because we think of the word teacher and someone that is being paid to give us or present to us information that we don't know. And that is true for a teacher in the public school system and otherwise, in public, in the general public. Somebody paid seminary professor to give me information that I did not have when I started. Okay? Perfect. But where does it come for us? Where does it land in us? Because where we get it wrong so often is that we think that it is somebody else's job to teach this. It is somebody else's job to teach my children this book. It's somebody else's job to teach me Scripture. Is it? Is it really somebody else's responsibility? I do have a responsibility, the pastor of the church, but let's put it to another way. One day when you and I perish, it will happen. Greatest statistic ever, one out of every one person dies. It will happen one day. And when you and I perish, and we stand before an almighty God, there will not be a judgment based on our eternity if we are a believer. There's no condemnation for us because of our relationship with Christ. Okay, so that's out of the question. But there is going to be a judgment based on our works. Why am I saying all this? Because when you and I stand in that moment of judgment, when you and I stand before an almighty God and talk about what we did with His holy and divine Scripture, what will you say and what will I say? Will it be something along the lines of, well, that teacher didn't teach well enough and I couldn't learn from them? Or will it be that pastor didn't say all the right things or didn't say what I wanted him to say, so I wasn't really learning anything? So it's his fault, God. It's not my fault. Is that what we're going to say? I hope not. It's a slippery, slippery slope. When we put off the responsibility of somebody else teaching God's truth to you and to me, and to our children, to our grandchildren. So here we are with the spiritual gift of teaching. So what do we do with this gift? Somebody might ask, why is teaching any different than prophecy? If you're interjecting a truth into a situation, what God says about something to be true, that's prophecy, We talked about this, but we're going to go back just for a touch because there is a difference. Let's just say this. A situation comes, and you need to know what God says about that situation. The prophet, the person that exercises their gift of prophecy, is going to tell you, this is what God says about this. This is what is right. This is what is wrong. The teacher will come along and say, I hear what the prophet is saying. I hear what that person with their gift of prophecy is saying. But let me teach you what Scripture says about this. See the difference? Let me walk with you through this and teach you something about it. The definition of the word here for teaching is something that I have grown to really, really like. The definition for the word for teaching is to cause someone to learn. To cause someone to learn. Think about that. When I exercise my gift of teaching, I am giving biblical instruction. I am helping others to understand biblical truth or expanding their biblical knowledge. I'm causing them to learn something new about God's Word. That is what I'm doing. Bruce Wilkinson, we've talked about him before, says this about the word teach in our church and otherwise. He says this, if your students are not learning, then by definition you are not teaching. I like that. I like that a lot. If my students are not learning, then by default and definition, I am not teaching. Why do I like that so much? Because now the responsibility is my own. I have a responsibility to create an environment where I am causing someone to learn. You say, well, why does that matter, Brother Adam? Why does that matter? I want you to see it in a different light. An English teacher wrote these words on the board. I want you to put it up there for me. The words were, here they are. The words are, woman without her man is nothing, okay? The first time they put it up there, there was no punctuation, okay? The teacher asked them, the boys, she said, boys, I want you to punctuate the sentence, and then girls, I want you to punctuate the sentence. So the words are, woman without her man is nothing. The boys wrote what you see on the screen. Woman, comma, without her man, comma, is nothing. The girls wrote this. Woman, exclamation point, without her, comma, man is nothing. Who's wrong? None of them. And so I, as a teacher, as somebody that would celebrate the gift of teaching, you would celebrate both answers. You'd say, man, you guys did great. You would need the prophet to come in and interpret which one is right and wrong. But the gift of teaching has been exercised because you caused them to learn how to punctuate a sentence. All right, let's get off of that. There was a story told of two men, Jim and Eddie. I don't know why it's Jim and Eddie. It's just how the story goes. They were hunting before Thanksgiving, and they were hunting for turkeys. Jim, in the middle of the turkey hunt, keels over and collapses. He doesn't seem to be breathing. His eyes are glazed over. And so Eddie gets out his cell phone. That's pretty smart. Eddie gets out his cell phone and he calls the emergency number. And Eddie says this to the dispatch person. He says, we were hunting and my friend has died. What do I do? And he's panicked. Well, what am I supposed to do? He says, my friend is dead. And the dispatch comes on and says, let's take a breath. Let's make sure that he's dead. There was silence and then a gunshot. And Eddie comes back on the phone. He says, okay, now what? (laughs) even whenever we exercise our gift of teaching, if we have the spiritual gift of teaching, sometimes we are at the mercy of the learner. Okay? But here's the thing. If you take the definition of the word to teach, you say, I'm going to cause someone to learn. Whether it is the boys and the girls in that class that were so sharp in their punctuating of a sentence, or whether it is the eddies of the world, if you have the spiritual gift of teaching, you're going to be able to cause them to learn. That's fantastic. We need people with the spiritual gift of teaching because some of us are eddies. And some of us are really bright and sharp. The responsibility is ours if we have this gift. So what am I going to teach them? Am I going to teach them how to change a tire? Am I going to teach them how to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Am I going to teach them how to tie their shoes? If you've had little children, you understand that. Congratulations. You're probably ahead of me. I want to look at Matthew chapter 9 really quickly. Matthew chapter 9. We have Jesus here healing. He has healed a woman and restores a girl to life. He has healed a blind man. And now he is urging his disciples to pray for workers. And Jesus says this. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching, there's that word, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the reason I would pull this text is because this is the same word that is being used whenever we see the word of our spiritual gift in their teaching. Jesus is using this gift of teaching to do what? Proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. If you have the spiritual gift of teaching, it is critical that you use the spiritual gift in its spiritual manner. He's proclaiming the gospel. He's giving instruction and guidance concerning the gospel. One of the things that we have here at our disposal at Live Oak is the resource of Right Now Media. There are hundreds upon hundreds of video studies that we give freely to you as a church. You have access to them as a church member. If you still don't know how to do that or access them online, call the office. Talk to me. I'll walk you through it. What you see in each one of those videos, almost all of them have teachers that are facilitating a study on fill in the blank. There's hundreds of them out there. And these people are exercising their gift of teaching because they are causing someone to learn something about what? The gospel. They're causing someone to learn. So often, and to our shame as a church, not necessarily here, but to the church as a whole, the local church, this is our view of what teachers should be. Well, can they read? Are they breathing? Well, that meets two of the qualifications. Let's put them in a classroom and let them teach. Am I wrong? This is one of those spiritual gifts that is unlike the other ones because it comes with an asterisk. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such you will incur a stricter judgment." If you have the gift of teaching, you will incur a stricter judgment. Why? Because we're not just teaching about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. This is the gospel. This is the most important thing that you can teach to anyone at any time. People will dispute me on that, and I will just tell them, it's okay for you to think that or not believe me, but this is the most critical thing that anyone in this room could ever learn. Because in it is truth, In it is hope. In it is salvation. And in it is everything that we will ever need. Otherwise, it would still be being written. There would still be things added to this book. But there's not, because it's all there. And so if I have the spiritual gift of teaching, I will incur a stricter judgment because of what I am teaching. I have run across people in my lifetime that could not diagram a sentence to save their life. They could not punctuate a sentence to save their life. But they will still be successful because they have other things that they're good at. I have not once run across a person that could change the eternal state of their destiny by doing anything other than what I read in this book. And so if I have the spiritual gift of teaching and I'm sharing and proclaiming the gospel and causing someone to learn more and more about this book and about who God is and what Jesus Christ did on the cross, if I'm causing them to do that, I have to be careful with my words. Because there is a stricter judgment for me. It is why not everybody should be a teacher. It is why we cannot just go off of, are they breathing and can they read, and put them in a classroom and call them a teacher. We need people that have the spiritual gift of teaching to exercise it. So where do we go? As we finish this morning, I want to read a passage of Scripture out of 1 Timothy. Because as we finish, I want to talk about 1 Timothy chapter 4. The subheading for this section of Scripture is called A Good Minister's Discipline. And it says this, starting in verse 6. If you want to read it with me, you can turn there and go with me. 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6, it says, In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith, of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Someone has been exercising the spiritual gift of teaching. The words of faith and the sound doctrine which you have been following. But, verse 7, have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for only old women. Now, I'm going to just leave that alone. Y'all okay? That was a joke. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. For it is for this that we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is Savior of all men, especially of believers. Then verse 11, prescribe and teach these things. There's that word again. Teach. As we exercise our spiritual gift of teaching, think about what we are to stay away from. Worldly fables fit for old women. Again, I'm going to leave that alone. We are to teach sound doctrine, words of faith. And then it goes on in verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. And verse 13 is important. It says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Okay, so here we are. We have the public reading of Scripture. That's great. Pay attention to that. It says, give special attention to that, the public reading of Scripture. But where it ends is just that. It's a reading of Scripture. Then there's exhortation. That's another spiritual gift. If you have that gift, exhort. We're going to talk about that in the next week or two. And then there's this one, and teaching. Clearly, there is a difference between reading Scripture, exhorting people, and teaching. There are three different things in that sentence. So it's critical that we don't confuse the two or the three. That's why we distinguish between teaching and prophecy. We have to distinguish between what is just being read and then something that is causing me to learn more about it. Verse 14, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. See? Right back to that spiritual giftedness. Do not neglect it. What does that mean? I wish that I could tell you everybody in this room, I wish I could just look over you like some robot, and it would tell me. It would put up a little flag, and out beside that flag, it would tell me what your spiritual gift is, because then I could tell you, we need to do this, and we need to do this with you, and we need to help grow that gift in you. But I don't have that foresight. I don't have that kind of wisdom. And so it is up to us as a body. Remember, we are all part of a body. We are all different in our own way, and we all have been gifted differently. Some of us have been gifted with the same gifts, and we should exercise those well. Some of us have been gifted with different gifts. Let's not confuse that with our calling and our growth for the kingdom. Let's celebrate our differences, okay? It's okay for you to be different than me. It's okay for you to be better at something than me, because you are gifted that way. You are hardwired by a God, a creator God, to be that for the kingdom where I may not be. That's okay. Let's celebrate those things together for the kingdom. Let's go to verse 16 in 1 Timothy 4. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Paul says, I've already given you this teaching, Timothy. Pay close attention to it. Paul had the gift of teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do, you will ensure salvation for both yourself and those who hear you. See, guys, if we have the gift of preaching, or teaching, excuse me, if we have the gift of teaching, we will cause people to learn more about Scripture. And in that, we will cause people to come to salvation. It may be for us, it may be for them, it may be for multitudes of people. But let's exercise our gifts. Some of you in this room are teachers. And I applaud you for causing people to learn more about Scripture. Let's make a difference for the kingdom because of what we teach out of God's Word. Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to attempt to exercise the gift of teaching. Father, an attempt to cause someone to learn, to cause someone to learn more about your word. Father, if there are those in this room that have this gift, they just have a way with walking with people through the Scripture. Father, would you help us to put them in positions where they can teach your biblical truth to a lost and broken world, that we might make a difference for the kingdom at Live Oak Baptist Church. As a body of believers, Father, help us to celebrate our differences and our gifts. Father, it's okay that we're different. You know what each one of us needs each day. And you know the kind of people that we need in our lives to help us in that way. Father, help us to trust and embrace that. Father, thank you again for your word. Because of your word, because it is holy and divine, Father, we really, our work has already been done. It is all just a working of the Holy Spirit through our gifts that we get to teach your word. Thank you for that. Father, thank you for these in this room. Father, I pray if there's a person in this room that has not ever trusted in what Jesus did on the cross, Father, that they might do that today so that they might begin the process of exercising their spiritual gifts. Thank you so much for this time, and we give it to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we open this time of invitation? This is a time where you can come and you can pray. You can go and you can talk to people in this room. Maybe you know what they're giving.